You're listening to Big Wigs. The bigger the wig,
the bigger the personality. Ooh, stunning.
Hey, Tom.
Miranda? Oh, I thought I saw Miranda.
Look at that, babe. It's Big Wigs.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.
Look at big ribs and big wigs.
And we're back. Big wig babies, we are here. I don't know what I'm saying. Hello, hello. We are in multiple cities across the country, but we are bringing you an episode live on this Thursday. It feels live, you know? It feels live. We're not live, but hi, Dre.
It feels
welcome
live.
Back.
Hey, Anna. I like how you said baby big wigs.
Big wig babies.
Big wig babies. I like that.
That's how yeah. I feel. I feel like a big baby today.
Give me a pacifier and a glass of milk. Yeah, why do you feel like a baby? What's going on?
I met my parents, so I am a baby. You know,
you just
when you
revert
go home,
back to baby. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Everyone knows that, right? When you go home, like they complain about you, like you're a teenager, and then you start just morphing into teenage version of you where like you're like, oh my God, I live at home now. I'm a baby again. I'm a child.
And they have to cater to all my needs.
Give me $20. I got to go to the mall, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God,
that's
remember
the best,
when $20 though. Was actually like okay to go to the mall? I don't even think you could park for $20 at the mall. Like, remember
it
when
got
they
you
were like
so far? Yeah, you could do three different activities with $20.
Oh my God, I would show up at like the food court. You could do like a little limited two action. I'd buy like
oh,
a thong.
Yeah. Right.
You know? And then like, I don't know. And then you still had room, you still had money left over for like, the bulk candy, you know?
Yep. You could go stop by a movie and even get yourself some candy. Yeah, there was you get a giant soda fountain drink. The opportunities were endless with 20 bucks. When my parents would give me $20 when I was younger, I looked at that and I thought it was something.
You were rich. Yeah.
It was crisp. I was like, wow, this is like, whoa. Yeah, we're rich.
I know. And then remember when you discovered there's a 50 and then you're like, holy
damn.
Shit.
I was like, this goes higher. Oh my God. The first time I saw a $100 bill, I think that was like a momentous moment. I looked at that.
Yeah.
It didn't even look real. I was like, this looks like Monopoly money. Like, come on now.
I know.
This is not real cash.
And you feel like you should frame it or something. Like you shouldn't spend it. Like I used to be like that. Or I honestly still feel like that. If I get a $100 bill, like I've gotten them, you know, like for a job or something I did.
Yeah.
Where they're Shady McShaderson and they're like, here's cash. And I'm
cash
like,
only.
What kind
yeah.
of business is this? I save it as long as I can. Like I know people who like go to the bank and deposit it. I will save it.
Well, you know how you have to keep cash in your wallet now just in case. You know, it's a man thing, but well, now I'm doing gender roles.
Wait,
you know how my dad just always had cash. My mom never really carried the cash, but if we needed like small change to I don't know, you're at an arcade or something, your dad would always have the cash. But I'm learning that now when you're traveling, you don't know what you need. You know, you need like the cash. I'm carrying it around, but sometimes you got a big bill, like 100, and it hurts for me to break the 100. I go, I've only got $100 left. I don't want to break it. I want to keep that in my security deposit bank for
Save
months.
For
I don't, yeah, I don't want to spend it. I don't want to break it. And then I also hate to be that bitch. It's like, can you break the 100? Can you have a smile? Yeah, bitch, they have change for 100. Okay. I'm acting like I'm Bill Gates over here. Like
I never have cash. I literally never have cash on me. And you know when there's a minimum at like a bodega or something?
Yes.
I am that girl who has to hit the minimum. So then I leave with like fucking three bags of chips, some gum, you know, a couple drinks. And I'm like, I just came here for like literally a seltzer. And here I am.
And I'm leaving with a small pharmacy. Yes.
With 40 pounds on my back. Yeah. I should carry cash, but I don't. I don't know. I don't remember the last time I went to like an ATM. Is that crazy? I used to get cash if it was like cash back. I'd be like, that's smart.
You that's should do smart cash of back. Me, right? Yeah.
Nope. Anyway, I'm here in Philadelphia at my parents'. What's so funny is I've been like, like shooting stories and bullshit around Philly. And people are like, you're in Philadelphia, like as if I'm like traveling here and like I wanted to be here. And no offense, but I didn't want to be
if
here.
I wanted to be. Do you have followers that still don't know that you're from Philly? Because you always got to like reintroduce yourself to the new peeps. And we love them, but it's just you got to redo the whole story.
I know. Although, you know, I hope there's a lot of Philly fans out there because I'm going to be doing a show in Philly this fall. So I'm like, oh, I hope people will show up. We'll see.
Is this Jewish American Prodigy?
It is, but it's not an official announcement yet. I got to wait for a ticket link. I got to wait. Maybe next week I'll make the official announcement. This is a okay. Dropping. We're dropping breadcrumbs. You know what I'm saying?
A little inkling of a hint. Yeah, I appreciate it. Okay. I mean, this is why people have to come to the podcast for this little.
We also have big podcast news too, but we can't
release that either.
Yeah, no, we can't. So many secrets, you guys. Wow. I feel actually like I'm in middle school again.
Me too. And I hated secrets. And we would do the little jingle, which I won't even do for you guys. It's so stupid.
Wait, I wanted to tell you one funny thing though. My parents live, I think I've told you, they live in Old City, Philadelphia, which is literally like where, you know, all the history happened.
The Liberty
Post Office. The Liberty Bell. The first post office. You know, the Constitution Center. The fucking, you know, all of those places are literally within five, like when we walk the dog, it's like right here. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's so funny because there's all these tours and I'm out there braless, like walking my dog. And it's like, you know, I'm in my fucking, I wear pajamas out. Like if you have a dog, I think you're allowed, I personally believe you're allowed to just go on the street in anything you woke up in. It's like a rite of passage. You know what I mean? Like you have a dog, you don't have to get dressed. You just have to walk the dog. So that's me. And there's literally like people in like 3-point hats, like being ahoy, like that's a pirate, but you know what I mean? They're like, welcome to Old City, Philadelphia. Over here is where the American flag was sewn. And I'm like out there picking up shit, like in my boobs are like coming out of my pajamas and I'm like,
Ben Franklin's pointing to you and to your left, if you take a gander, we've got the 21st century female walking her dog.
Yeah. His house is literally around the corner. My dad and I walked through it randomly just cause like once recently, cause we were like going, he was like, here's a shortcut. And the shortcut was
through Ben Franklin's house. What the
walk through Ben.
You know, dads are, oh my God, that's such a dad move. They try to take you through like the alleys and the shortcuts and you just happen to be an old city Philly. So you're walking through Ben Franklin's house.
Yeah, it's so random. Anywho, what are we doing?
Producer Mike says we're both doing James Mason impressions for the founding fathers.
I don't even know who James Mason is, but
James Marsden?
Ben Franklin over here. That's Steve.
What does the founding father sound like? I thought it was kind of like old English.
Honestly, if you told me to do a George Washington impression, I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't even know where to begin. I wouldn't even know.
I have no idea. I
went to the catch us up. I was going to say, go ahead.
I was in Chicago because we have a wedding to go to this coming weekend and love being in Chicago. Nick's parents are just absolute. I mean, they are just the hostess with the mostest dinner. And it's great. I love being here. I went to the Cubs game and they've been doing incredible. Like they used to be ranked last and now they're getting higher and higher. And they have a guy on their team named Dansby. And I thought,
is like, that how you're supposed to pronounce it? Dansby.
You're not, but
welcome to Dansby.
Doesn't it work? Like on the screen, it was like Dansby. Oh my God, what is his last name? Because it sounds like, oh, Dansby Swanson. Are you kidding me? Like what a name, right?
Wow. Yeah, it's a good name. I loved it.
So all of Nick's friends and I were just like, you know, yelling, Dansby, make haste. And it just reminded me of the founding fathers. Because like who names their son Dansby in the 21st century? Am I right?
Yeah. People are naming their kids Barbie and Ken now. Like, how funny is that? They're like, Barbie and Ken names are on the rise ever since the movie dropped 3 weeks ago. I'm like, really?
Oh, yeah.
were people just like, we couldn't think of a name. So like, I don't know. That seems pretty like trending right now. It's just like name him Ken.
Yeah. I think Ken is Kenneth and then you can just shorten it to Ken. But like for Barbie, that's maybe middle name for Barbie. I have to correct myself. Dansby's not on the Cubs. He's on the Atlanta Braves, which is who we played. Oh. And clearly I was just getting my mixed up. You know, I was just staring at.
I'm glad you fact checked that like live.
I had to because he
is on the Cubs. No, he is on the Cubs. Mike says, I believe producer Mike over.
Okay, wait. He used to be on the Braves and then he transferred to the Cubs. Okay. Thank God. Okay. I'm not a complete idiot. I was like, wait a minute. Am I wrong?
Dansby's throwing us for a loop.
Yo, he's really. Dansby is confusing us. He's such a trickster.
I'll be right back, Mom. I'm going to Dansby's house. Like what?
I wouldn't trust my daughter for a millisecond. I'd be like, bitch, where are you actually going? Because I know there ain't no kid named Dansby at your school. No. Mm-hmm. You ain't going to Dansby. Anyway, Dansby was hot.
Showed her up.
Dansby was hot and the game was fun and we won.
I love how like cultured in Chicago you're like, I'm becoming a Cubs fan. Like I'm like fully Anna, like Anna. Here we are at Wrigley Field. I'm like, oh my God.
Anna, you know that we're chameleons at heart and we just fully embrace whatever culture we're in. If I went to Philly, bitch, you better believe I would be taking shortcuts through Ben Franklin's house. I would be chilling in Ben Franklin's basement at this point. And then you fully got to be in theme. I'm totally a Nats fan because I'm DC born and raised. But when I'm at the Cubs game, I'm showing up in those pinstripes. I bought a hat. Yeah, I bought a $50 hat. Stupid purchase, but it was a dope hat and I'm going to wear it.
I hope you do. That's great. Yeah. The Phillies, I'm going to say something actually controversial for me. I didn't go to the Phillies game. The Phillies had a no-hit game last night. Did you see this?
No.
Guys, sports news here on Big
Coverage.
Big Wigs podcast, sports news. Yeah, the Phillies they had a no-hit game last night. It was
I was going to say, do it in the
It was
the
crazy.
Delco.
And I said to my dad and Jared, I said, yo, what's a no-hitter game? I was like, no one hit? What a fucking boring ass baseball game.
Already boring sport. Why aren't they hitting the ball? Yo, I don't know about yous, but that sounds like a snooze fest. Dad. I don't want to be nowhere near no hit game.
Apparently that's like history here. They were like, for the first time in like the history of the sport, like it's only happened like 14 times or something.
Whoa.
Like, total? I was like, huh? What does this guy have? Rookie of the year arm? Like magic arm. He threw every pitch and no one got a hit. They said it was like 124 pitches. No one hit it.
Okay. That is Mike. Crazy. Mike says yes. That is crazy.
Yeah.
So he's throwing fastballs like 100 mile per hour.
Yeah. I think he's new. I think he's rookie of the year. And they're all just like, fuck, like this guy is it. And my dad was like, maybe I'll like root for the Phillies this year. Like my dad loves baseball, but he was like, probably like, you know, you don't want to root for the team that always lose. Well, they got far last year, you know, but
yeah.
They got to the World Series. But yeah, he was like, maybe I'll root for the Phillies this year. Like maybe I'll actually like watch and go. I was like, oh, wow.
Those are called bandwagon fans. What is that? You know, when somebody, it's like only when they're doing good do you hop on that bandwagon.
That's me. That's full. I'm a bandwagon fan. Yes. When I heard the Phillies were in the World Series, I was like, I guess we should watch, right? Should we watch? And then, you know, by game three, you're like, where are we watching the game tonight?
There's a Phillies game. You turn into the biggest fan. Yes. I mean, baseball fans are really fun. I would say baseball fans and, soccer fans are fun. It depends.
Football fans are psycho, I think.
Dude, it gets nuts.
It gets a little too nuts. And I don't even know the sport. Like I've watched enough Philly, football to know a little bit, but I don't. Yeah.
You guys are the most crazed fans. Like Philly has notoriously. They're like, oh, when Philadelphia's in town, yo, watch the fuck out. And also Bills fans. But Bills Mafia is fun. Like Buffalo. Mm. They're just fun and drunk. But I think Phillies are the ones that get they get like rough and rowdy.
Yeah.
Like they'll straight up punch people.
Eagles fans are crazy. I actually, freshman year of college, it was Eagles Patriots because I went to school in Boston and my mom like sent me an Eagles shirt and I was like, are you trying to get me like killed? Literally, I was like, I can't walk around in an Eagles shirt. They're going to fucking maul me in Kenmore Square. And I remember wearing it in the dorms and there was one other like kid on my floor who also had an Eagles shirt and we were both, I was like, are we supposed to like be friends or something? Like, I don't know. We're the only ones here. And then, you know, by my senior year, it was Eagles Patriots again, I think. Or was it Patriots?
You can't ask me the matchup.
Giants. Whatever. It was
Pats,
the Patriots
were
always in the, you know, Super Bowl. So I was like, well, fuck that. You know, I've lived here long enough where I can convert now. You know, bandwagon fan. Hello. I'm going to live in Boston for 4 years. I'm going to become a Patriots fan. Everyone can hate the shit out of me, but my team's going to win, you know? And also Tom Brady was hot. That was literally how I'd pick. I'd be like, he's cute. I guess I'll root for them.
Every woman completely. Except, yeah, no, I stick with the, I'm the underdog. So I'll always go for the underdog team because I think nothing's better than a comeback story.
Who is the DC football team?
Well, it constantly changes. We used to be the Redskins. It was controversial. So then they went to the Commanders, which, you know, it was giving off-brand superhero vibes, like the Commanders. And now we are just the Washington Football League, which to me is so generic. Basic. The Washington Football League? Get out of here.
Yeah, why couldn't they, like, I don't know, pick another animal or something, right? Like
thank
why
you.
They went too hard with the commando, I want to say.
Yeah, they went commando. Yeah.
The Washington Commandos, they wear nothing. Now it's just the Washington League.
Washington Football League.
That why would they name it a league if it's in the NFL? Wait, they're the Commanders now?
So now they went back to the Commanders? Mike, I can't keep up. I mean, thank God we have our fact checker here, our producer, Mike. They were the Washington Football Team. Oh, not even the league, it was team. See how misinformed I am? I'm somewhere in the ballpark, but I'm not.
Well, at least I'm tired enough where I'm buying all of it. I'm like, wow, what weird names, Dre. I'm totally with you on that.
Wait, listen, can I whatever say one it thing? Is, it's terrible names.
Can you just say one thing you learned today that I taught you? The Schuylkill River is like the Hudson River of Philadelphia.
What kind of name? I thought that was one of those.
She goes, what the fuck is a Schuylkill? I go, it's the fucking river, girl. It's like where they do crew.
Yeah, it sounds to me. I thought it was a type of Segway. And so I was imagining some crazy bike apparatus. I was like, Anna is like riding down the street in some unicycle. It's a river?
Oh, it's the river.
It's the river.
It's like the what's it called? Art Museum sits at the top, and then it's like, you know, the river. Lighthouse Row. Have you ever heard of Lighthouse Row?
No.
In Philly at night, like on the river there, on the Schuylkill, it's like all the crew houses, you know, where they keep the boats and stuff, or the clubs or whatever, or the schools. And they all have like Christmas lights on year round, and it's called Lighthouse Row.
That's cute.
You'd like it. You like who doesn't love a good Christmas light, right? It's nice.
I know.
It's nice to drive by and you're like, oh, look, there you go. That's the houses.
It's no very warm and welcoming. No one lives in them. And they're for the row people. The row is. But it's a nostalgic feeling. I like that. Shout out to my friend Rachel Vigiano, who's Rach on the radio. She's Q102. She's a big radio personality. Yeah.
I grew up on Q102.
Q102
and B101. B101.
That was the other one? Oh, okay. So
no, but B101's like old school stuff.
Oh, it's yacht rock?
Yeah, it's a little yacht rock. It's a little like, you know, classic rock. It's 102.9 MGK. That's classic rock.
102.9. Classic. You would know the classic rock. I like that.
That's all I listen to.
That's it.
Classic rock. I kid you not. Yeah, I should be a radio host for 102.9 MGK. I think they could use my energy, you know? I know all the classic rock songs. I love it.
I'm sure you do. You can actually radio from home now. I mean, you still have to go into studio at least, but it's definitely a hybrid work situation. So
hell
if anybody wants to get into radio, you know.
I do.
It's kind of a plus.
I'm ready. Wait, can I ask you something? First of all, are you having FOMO like me for not being at the Taylor Swift concert?
This is a controversial answer, but no, I am not a Swiftie at all. And I see people's stories and I'm like, I think she's such a fun performer. I have just no interest in singing along. I don't. But I like everybody's excitement for it.
I'm having, I guess you call this bandwagon fan syndrome. I'm having like a moment in my life where I am like now looking for tickets. Like at first I always liked Taylor Swift and there were certain albums that I like really like liked. I loved 1989. Shout out today. She announced that she's re-recording Taylor Swift 1989 Taylor's version. And I think it's fucking badass that she's just going back and being like, all these fucking producers and companies like made me change it. I didn't want to. I'm just going to do it how I want to do it and re-release it. And my fans will fucking buy it and listen to it.
Oh, they will be buying that.
It's empowering. And I think it's empowering for like other people, even in other industries and stuff, like reclaim what you want, like do what you want, you know, don't let the patriarchy take you down, even in your art, like just fucking put out what you want to do.
She was doing it before the strikes, before Barbie. She
All
was
this,
taking
yeah.
claim, taking back her, yeah, and what was hers.
sticking to it. Anyway, I don't know what happened in my algorithms, but my TikTok, my Instagram, I think I know thousands of people who have been at the Taylor Swift concert, especially in LA the last few days. And I am
oh my God, LA, everybody in LA. Yeah.
I am so jealous. It looks so fun from what they're wearing to it. You would get down with the outfits. You would get into like what you're wearing.
I have been watching everybody's OOTDs and their fit checks for the concert. That's for sure.
And then with the bracelets, I love a good friendship bracelet. I'm like, oh my God, I love beating a bracelet. I think the whole thing, I don't know. It just hit me the other day. I'm like, you want to go. You want to be a part of this and you're not. And you're feeling bad. And
then you're not there. How did the fad of the friendship bracelet start? Because I always see the fads, but I want to know the origin of the story and I never know it.
I don't know if she put it out there. It's like, so you go and you trade your bracelets, which is like a whole fun thing. So like you make bracelets and then you go and you trade them with other Taylor Swift fans. And I don't know anything more than that. That's all I know is it's a whole thing. And you know, my friend, she was like, this little girl was like, you don't have to give me one back. You can just take mine. I'm like, oh, what a sweetheart. Like,
wow.
But then people leave like with Camp Arm. That's what I call Camp Arm. When you have like 4,000 bracelets up your arm. And I want to be that girl. I don't know why it just happened for me. I'm like, wait, are you you're a bigger Swiftie than you thought? I want to know if anyone else is feeling this way because I legit.
Oh my God. I think so many people are feeling that way. My Sarah Fraser, she had severe FOMO. So she bought herself a ticket and she went to the show.
Damn, she's got money. Yeah. I looked up those tickets. Even to sit behind the stage was like $900. I was like,
oh my
behind.
God, that's where she could see the corner of it, but then most of it was just like literally she could see half the stage, half of it behind. They do have a humongous jumbotron in the back of the stage. But it is like you're like, well, I'm here. I can't even see an inch of Taylor's body, but I'm looking at the jumbotron. So I'd rather watch at home.
Yeah.
But you don't get the fun of the stadium feel.
I did look online. Can I be honest? I looked online. You know, she's doing like all of her international dates now. LA was like the last in the US for a while. She's coming back to the US. She's doing Miami, New Orleans. She's doing like a couple cities like in 2024. But I was looking and I'm like, oh my God, she's going to be in London on my birthday week, like in June. I'm like, do I just like fucking go to Taylor Swift on my birthday in London? Like then I have all year to really focus on like the songs and get to know every album, even though I know some albums.
Give yourself some time to relearn all the songs. Yeah. See, aren't you like a T-Swift older fan back when she was singing, she wears short shorts, sneakers, you know,
I wear sneakers. I liked her era. Then, but I wasn't as, I like her more pop stuff. Like I like her, you know, like, mm-hmm. Lover. I loved Lover. I like Shake It Off, Welcome to New York. I like that whole album.
Were some bangers.
There's an album, I think it's 1989. That album really got me through. Like, I remember listening to it on the subway going to my fucking day job, like going, like having just broken up with my boyfriend of 8 years. And I was like listening to Taylor Swift and I'm like, this will get me through the day. You know, she's got a way with people. She really does. I think she's very, I don't know, genuine, I think is the word I'm trying to, she's, you know, no bullshit. Well,
she gave her hat to Kobe Bryant's daughter.
Oh, that was so sweet. That was a really
tender moment. I liked that.
Did you see the photo of like Kobe and her hugging like years ago at another show of hers? And then like, it's like mirrored and it's like the same. And then like his daughter. Oh, that was
sweet.
And then she gave
her a hug. Yeah. No, that was also a good moment.
Every celebrity, like you said before, it was at the concert in the last few days. Like
Channing Tatum, because he was taking his daughter there. You know, it's always fun to see the celebrities now taking their children. And the celebrities are from our generation. So we're like, oh my God, they have kids going to these shows? Like, what?
That's nuts. Gross. I know. Gross. Did any Kardashians go to the Taylor Swift concert? Because I feel like, interesting if they didn't. This feels political now, you know? I'm like, wait, why wouldn't they support Taylor?
It does. You know who was controversial? Carly Kloss, because she's a part of the T-Swift friend. The clan, the friend group. And but they had a falling out. And then she made an appearance. She showed face at the concert. Wow. So it's like, are they back? But I didn't see if a Kardashian went. I didn't see it. I mean, Courtney is looking like a gorgeous pregnant. She is bumping out there. So I mean,
she's bumping.
She's like, I can only handle so many concerts.
She honestly, I feel like she's really like embracing it so hardcore. And like, you know how some people are like, I mean, maybe we're wrong. Maybe she's behind, you know, the camera. She's like, ugh, I feel gross today. But yeah, like every photo I've seen of her, she's so confident. She's so put together. And she's just like, this is the best moment of my life. Like, it seems this like a happy moment for her, when normally I would feel bad for someone who's pregnant, because I'm like, oh, wow. Pants, remember
it looks
those like
heavy. Yes. Yeah.
But she just seems to be like rocking it hardcore, right? All the bikinis.
Yeah. No, she definitely does. I mean, I'm proud of her. I love all the looks. The looks are exciting me.
Yeah. The looks are exciting. Although I feel like we found out very late when she was pregnant. Like, she's probably already had a baby or is having one like next week.
We're watching what happened 6 months ago in live time. Yeah. She's fully been at home taking care of the baby already. We have no idea. Or they're filming for the show. She can't release it yet.
I feel like that happens with the Kardashians. Like, there's a very strategic timeline, and we're totally not in the regular timeline. Like, even with all the Skims drops and all this, like, we're like,
I have no idea. I have absolutely no clue.
I want to tell you something. I forgot to write this on our list of things to chat about, but you guys all probably know. Did you see yesterday? Victoria's Secret did a drop. Did you see this? And it was like icons only, and it's all nudes, and it's there, and it's like Hailey Bieber, and they were like, and all the outlets were like, holy shit, this is a straight up ripoff from Skims. Because remember, Skims did like the icons, and they had all these celebrities model for them. And this could be a good hot takes. And then Victoria's Secret legit like drops the same kind of campaign, and everyone's like, what the fuck is happening? I don't know if you're seeing this, but
so there's a little controversy.
Yes, there is.
So they, oh my God, recruits familiar supermodel faces.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God, it's the OG. So it's like Giselle, Adriana Lima, Naomi Campbell. Wow. Oh yeah, it looks exactly like Skims.
I know. And it's so funny because normally Victoria's Secret is like the OG of lingerie, right? Like,
totally.
That was another stop at the mall. And
right next to Limited 2, you just hit up Victoria's Secret. Yeah, yeah.
Buy a giant padded bra, show up to choir class the next day. They all think you had like a breast implant. And I'm like, hell yeah, I did.
You guys have no idea.
Anyone else? No, just me. Yeah, no. So it's interesting to see like Victoria's Secret, this giant, you know, corporate brand, now that Skims is so fucking popular. They're like, you know what? We should probably do that. We should just probably do, you know, nudes with famous models. I don't know. It's interesting.
Can Skims sue Victoria's Secret?
I don't know.
Because you know what? You eventually run out of campaign ideas. So I feel like you're not really copying, because Skims kind of took the idea from Spanx. So their campaigns have kind of resembled Spanx in a way, but like just more, a little bit more risque. So now that Victoria's Secret is doing what Skims is doing, I don't know if there's kind of some conflict there,
you know,
but I have no idea.
Our girl is a lawyer. Kimmy is a lawyer. Kimmy
you're
can
right.
sue. She can sue whoever the hell she wants, and she should.
Yeah, she wants to take somebody to court. She can literally take them to court.
She intended down Victoria's Secret in a heartbeat. Are you kidding me? Their bras so not good anymore. They were good in the 90s.
Yeah, I'm sure you loved the padded bras, but now it's like Skims, the less is more.
Yes, less is more, you know, a thong and a little, you know, a bikini top that doesn't even cover your nipples. That's what's in now, you know?
Yeah, we just want like a little Cheez-It covering the nips.
That's what you've been wearing 9 months pregnant.
Show it off, baby. If you got it, show it. That's my motto. Oh, speaking of Kardash, happy birthday to the youngest, your favorite child.
I love Kylie so much. She's so creative. She's become such a business mogul. Aren't you so proud of your sister?
Yeah, I am. She has really done it up. I mean,
And she's so great. And she already told the press she wishes she didn't do breast implants. And I commend her on being so honest with all of her fans. I really do.
But the crazy thing is, she still has the implants.
She does. She does. But she wishes they weren't. But they look so good in all her photo shoots. It's like, why, if it ain't broke.
It is crazy. I feel like I'm the most natural of your daughters and you like just don't respect it.
I absolutely respect it. You have a beautiful body. I know Travis really respects it.
He does.
So does Scott. He tells me all the time.
We're not bringing up that slob kebab today.
Wait, side note, Scott was in the last season. I don't know if you finished it. Scott was in the season more than like Kylie, literally.
Than like half the family. You know what it is?
I think Kendall.
Kendall for sure. She's checked out. I think it's that they, the kids are over it. So they got to still get the old, they're like, all right, we got to bring back somebody. Let's bring back Scott. And Scott's hanging on probably by a floss thread. So he's ready to come back.
It's so funny though, because they're literally random scenes. They're like, you want to get lunch? Scott's coming to lunch.
The hell? Like what?
He's so like Chloe and Kim and Scott, you know?
They're still besties.
I kind of always thought maybe Scott and Chloe would one day get together, but like, I don't think that's allowed.
It's sister code, but I loved their relationship. Like to me, that's a perfect relationship is when you're so goofy together, you do prank calls together, you know what I mean? And you know what?
Yeah.
You started as best friends first, and then it just kind of grew naturally, and you just know each other on such a deep level. It's not rooted in like obsession. It's not in the looks. It's in the soul, you know? And they're such a funny couple. And like literally, trash can Tristan needs to go.
Tristan's the whole finale. I can't wait for you to watch it.
Yo, it is so, you know what is more heartbreaking? It's honestly the downfall of the family is Chloe can't get a good man. And she is the best. She's the best.
Honestly, you know, that whole joke about Kim going on The Bachelor, if Chloe became The Bachelorette, I'd watch the shit out of that, right? Give her all these, like, give her some fucking athletes, give her some musicians, give her all the guys who are already, like, famous in their own way, whatever, like, you know, producers. And I would watch that. I would love, I would vote. Yeah. Do you vote? No, you don't vote. Like, I'd vote for her.
I'd vote for that. I'd be there. You know, she needs to meet multiple different men from different professions, different personalities. And I think that she'll come to see that there is a lot more out there than just meets the eye. Than her regular type. So
absolutely.
I think that that's what needs to happen. And you know, Bachelor news, Caitlin Bristow and Jason Tartrick. Dunzo.
I know.
What
an amicable breakup they did publicly.
I know.
It's weird when you have to write like something like, we still support each other. We still, you know, we'll continue to dog parent together. Like we, you know, it was
the dog parenting. That's hard. I mean, children obviously is harder to co-parent, but the dogs though, it's like you don't need to stay together for the dogs, but you did get the dogs together. So
also there's two of them, just each take one. I don't know.
I mean, that would make sense to me. It's a dog, you know, and I love my dogs. So I don't want to split
them up. That would be like a parent trap moment. That's sad.
That's true. They're going to be looking for each other.
Here's a thing though. I feel like it almost feels like we don't know the real story of why they're breaking up because
I feel like we absolutely do not know.
Don't they have a podcast together? They do a lot of, you know, appearances together. They're like, I always liked their vibe. It was friendly, I will say. Like from the clips I've seen of their podcast, I'm like, oh, they're like friends.
Brother, sister.
So- yeah. But I don't know. I wish them both well. They're both nice, fun, hot people, you know?
They started going on a lot of vacations separate. Like Jason was like, I'm in Austin. Comment three things I should do. And I was like, somebody who's in a relationship ain't looking for things to do in Austin.
Oh my God. yeah, he's alone. Maybe one of them has a new partner and we just aren't going to know about it for like a couple months because it's going to look bad. You know, again, the timeline of the way people post, you know, this was a crafty breakup. Like it was like a time. They were like, okay, Tuesday, 9 a.m. We will
have to release the statement. Yeah, then it becomes, it feels more, the relationship feels like a social media campaign than any more emotional, private situation. And it's sad in our day and age that now celebrities feel like they have to announce it to the world.
Yeah.
So it's Sandra Bullock. She made me think that she was, that was heartbreaking, that she kept, he kept his battle totally private. And then now it's the release, the statement is released and it's like, oh my God, we had no idea that he was going through
that. I know. And like for the last 3 years, she was his like primary caretaker. Like that, like that's to abandon, like not abandon, but to like put everything on hold, on you know, hold. Like your whole life. And she has kids and she's a fucking Oscar winning actress. And to be, to like, that's just love. That's full on, like to be able to just drop everything and take care of someone you love, even in their dying days. Like that's admirable. I don't know if I could do it. I'd be like hiding under a desk. Like, I'm sorry, I can't handle this emotionally right now. She's strong.
Oh my God, she's the most strong. I'm obsessed with her. And it, just when you thought you're like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with Sandra on screen. No. Once you hear these stories, you fall in love with her. You're like, she's the strongest. She's not only Miss Congeniality in movies, but in real life.
In real life, yeah.
She's the best.
Okay, on that sad note, we're going to take a quick break,
but we'll be right back.
All right, we're back. We'll bring them back up. We got
bring
a little sad there.
Back in.
The news has only been sad this week. It's really fucked up. You know, shout out to people in Hawaii. Stay safe if you can. And like,
oh my gosh, oh
God, I don't you love that I went like, we're going to bring you back up. Anyway, did you guys hear Maui
what
is burning?
What was that?
I'm
what
sorry.
I mean, we do need to offer our, I mean, absolute prayers out to Hawaii. The videos that I'm seeing are absolutely so scary. I hope everybody's okay. People have actually passed. That's how scary it is. So
awful.
We can put a link to donate in our description.
Oh, we should. I also want to just say, you know, I've seen some TikToks of people being like, oh my God, I was supposed to go on vacation to Hawaii and like there's like fires. And I'm like, people live there and are actually like in danger. Shut the fuck up about you got a flight to Hawaii. You could go again, you know?
Tasteless. Absolute. Yeah. No class. Just taking it for granted. Listen, look, Hawaii is one of the most sought after destinations, but we forget. Yeah. People live there. People call it home and it's just goes to show you how much we just abuse the planet.
I was supposed to be on vacation today, but here I am in my mom's closet recording Big Wigs like a champ, like
and,
a big
and listen to this. You didn't hear Anna complain about it.
No, I'm complaining now. Actually, I decided it made me think of it. And then I was like, wait, you're sad, too. You're supposed to be in Paris today.
I thought about it, Anna. And I was like, I'm so proud of her for not bringing it up. She really is. And she's like, I'm actually supposed to be on vacation in Paris.
I'm a Gemini. I'm going to think about it. It's OK. Paris will be there. You know, although how fun. Nicole, our friend Nicole is there right now. She would have been there the same days as me.
Nicole Travolt. You guys could have gone together. I just responded to her stories this morning because she was eating a delicious croissant. And I was like, bish, you make it look so good.
I know. Well, yeah. Anyway, I'm in my mom's closet, which is a nice closet. It's big.
It is. I like it. It's the wall panels that you put in, the installation.
I guess. It's just, there's just closet. There's just doors. It's a whole.
But it goes floor to ceiling. So it's.
Yeah.
It's sort of. Connected to the wall. Okay. All right. Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's all built in. It's not like.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, my parents live in a loft, so it's like there's no privacy. You know, everyone's listening to us right now. Although by everyone, I mean Jared, my dad might be here. I don't know. My mom's not here, but it's no privacy here. Anyway,
I truly love that. I'm back in Chicago. I just got back here because I flew out to L.A. for the show I'm shooting. We had to do some reshoots and I got to see some cuts, guys. And I thought I was going to look like an absolute loser, MacGoober. You know how you have to be it's a hosting gig. So I'm on screen and I'm like, and now we're going to throw it over to you guys after we talk about.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a little stand up-y, but I got to add some jokes in there. So it's been fun. But they told me it's coming out in November. And I was thinking, oh, my God, that's the quickest turnaround for a show. So I'll be able to release like some clips once we actually get like a teaser. But yeah.
Nice.
So it was a lot of fun. Yeah, I'll be on. I've already announced I'll be on Fubo TV because I think Fubo TV is
my show will be there too.
Very funny.
In September. I think
Anna,
September
Anna, this
7th.
This isn't fucking about you right now. It's about me.
Listen, I'm sorry. We're both just successful hosts on fake networks.
listen, we're literally just trying to show you guys that we're so fucking successful.
Well, I was jealous. I'm like thinking, wow, I'm jealous you got to watch yourself. I'm going to look like an asshole and I haven't seen a single thing. I haven't seen a single clip. No one's shown me a zip.
No one has. You got to hit up the guy because, yeah, you got to at least. Well, no, we rarely get to see anything before it comes out. But it just so happened that I had to go do some VOs for it. And the producer was like, by the way, we started putting it together. And I was like, oh, my God, can I see some? And
nice.
Yeah. So but
wait,
usually,
how
yeah,
else was
definitely.
How was L.A. otherwise? Did you do anything fun besides the work?
It was so quick. I got there Monday night, flew out Wednesday morning. So it was just like a really quick turnaround, but it was 90. We were shooting outside. I started losing myself there by the fourth hour of like reciting lines on camera, but it was fun. I saw the Barbie movie with my girl Irene.
How was it? You just saw
it. Was
it.
Fun. I Did just like? Saw it. I'm late. I loved it. I read some reviews and I just thought it was all over the place, but I was fully entertained the full time. I mean, it was the visuals. It was like my imagination was coming to life with Barbie World. Like Barbie Land was crazy. I want to know how they shot that.
I know it was like fake, but real, but like, it was like such a, it was art. It was art.
It was art. Yeah. And the beginning was a little interesting. It was kind of like a dark beginning. And with the baby smashing, the baby dolls.
Well, that's like a nod to Mike, do you know? I can't remember who the director is. That's a nod to a certain film, to like a certain film genre.
Greta's like, done in the past or that she likes?
No. It's like a famous director who does all the like intros to the movies like that, like out in the desert. And it's like the middle of nowhere. And like, yeah,
that's awesome. That's
I can't remember who. And Jared will for sure listen to this episode and correct us in a week.
Of course. Definitely. Yeah, no, that's really cool. You know, these are the little insider things that I want to talk to somebody about because they, you know, everybody has their own take of it. And then they also are like, no, this is actually a throwback to this. But there were so many little seeds. But I will say that I've been feeling not empty, but I just been feeling like loss of direction.
Stanley Kubrick. It's a nod to the Stanley. And it makes sense because I don't know if you remember, like Kubrick did like The Shining and like that slow-mo like beating of the baby was so like that kind of like crazy like lava weird scene with the old dead naked lady. Anyway.
Creepy.
Yeah. It was a nod to his style in the beginning, which yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I want to go.
Feeling
I want to go back and watch that. Not empty. I would say lack of direction. The world's just been crazy right now with the strikes and the feeling like we're not enough all the time. And then there was the pandemic, so we're trying to come back from that. And just hearing America Ferrera's whole monologue speech that was just—it's exactly great. What I needed to hear. And after I turned to Irene and I was like, "How did you feel about that?" She was like, "Girl, bitch, that's exactly what I needed to hear." And I was just thinking, wow, so everybody, it kind of completed. There was like little nuggets in her monologue that I think related to everybody, at least something somebody could resonate with whatever she said. And I loved it. And then I just thought Ryan Gosling was just like so perfect and cute and funny. And he's just so good at every role. Like he just is so effortlessly. And I'm so jealous of his ability. I don't even get me started on Margot. I mean,
she's flawless. She is my Barbie. No, she was great. I loved America Ferrera, and I wanna read that speech again because I've seen like little clips of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I need to like hear it again or read it again. It's almost like, you know, I want a T-shirt with it. Like, you know how I want a T-shirt with like the Nicole Kidman AMC monologue.
Oh, God damn. You know, we heard that one at the beginning of Barbie. I was like, and here we go.
I know. People clap more louder for that than Barbie, than the actual movie in my screening.
Insane. Insane. I need, just like I needed the Jersey Shore last night at Club Bed.
Yes.
I need it on a t-shirt and I need America Forever speech. Yeah.
They make, shout out to fashion brand company. I saw they make a dress that has the entire AMC speech written down.
Wow.
And I kind of want to buy it, but it is expensive. I was like, wait, I don't know if I want it that bad, but I want it.
I mean, what kind of expensive are we talking?
You know, it's like over $100 probably to buy a dress that says the speech of Nicole Kidman in like glitter, you know? I'm like, do I really need that?
Wow. That's pretty iconic though.
I know, because it's such a funny fucking speech. And then, you know, like when you wear something with a graphic and people are like, what is that? What does that say?
It's such a conversation starter.
I know. Although I'm wearing my Virgin Who Can't Drive hat the other day and a man on the street literally was like, what did he call me? Oh, Virgin Who Can't Drink? Damn, that sucks. Like,
what are you, an incel? That is not the conversation starter you want.
No,
a virgin and I was who like, can't drive.
It's virgin who can't drive, bitch, and it's from Clueless. I take no prisoners. Are you kidding? I am no. Don't even try.
She can't drive, but she does have road rage.
I do. Wait, I want to hear your story. You had a story. Dre texts me. She's like, I met the horse courier.
Wait for it.
What?
Courier.
I don't even know what they're.
I'm sitting en route to LA, and I always request aisle seat just because easy access. You can get in, out to the bathroom. You can stretch your legs.
Yeah, I like an aisle too.
I like an aisle. So I'm sitting middle though because it was a last minute booking, and I have an older gentleman to my right, younger gentleman to my left, and the older gentleman starts, you know, asking us questions. He's going in and
he's a talker.
And he was quiet at first, but he started the convo and I go, oh, here we go. So he's asking us all these questions. He's telling us, I know he has 6 kids. I know what his wife does. I know everything about this man's life. And he's asking us same questions, like getting to know us. And finally we get to the meat of the story, which is the younger man to my left. He said, oh, I'm a horse courier. I go, eh? He's like, yeah, I was in the army. I did a couple tours, Afghanistan. And now I'm a flight engineer. And I live in Kentucky. And I transport metal horses and show horses across the country. I got a couple out. I travel over to Dubai. So he's transporting $1 million metal winning horses in these aircraft.
I thought you meant metal horses and real horses. Like, I thought you meant like literally like a statue of a horse. And I was like, oh wow, real and art. Like, oh, what a, is the body must be the same width. I was like so confused.
He does taxidermy horses, and that's what he flies across country. So these people take them, they fly them out to the place where they want to pick up the horses, and then they do the race, and then they fly the horses back to their original home stables. But his clients, he showed me pictures and I was like, you're lying that you transport these people's horses. And he's like, the people don't even really know the horses, but horses can be a crazy investment because you buy the horse at like $1 million. Then you take them and they start winning all these competitions. They're show horses. They can get up to their cost is now, their worth is like $12 million. So he was like, yeah, so get ready for this. He flies Bill Gates's horses. Gates. I said, sir, you're absolutely lying. He's like, no, like, you want me to show you the pictures? I was like, okay, sure.
Wait, can I ask though? I need some clarification. So like Bill Gates doesn't have a plane that the horses just walk on to, like a private plane, or do they? And this guy goes on the plane with the horses and like, you know, keeps them safe on up in the air or something.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. He's the one he wrangles them. Gets them on to the flight if they need a break in between, because sometimes it's like super long flights between Europe. And so they do the landing, he'll feed them and make sure they're okay. But like, what an interesting job. Like, what? It's crazy. So Bill Gates, and then he goes, and then I got a couple of Kaylee Cuoco's horses. She's a big horse, her and her ex-husband, they love horses. And her horse, he shows me, he's like, this one's named Dottie. I can't remember this one's name. Then one of the horses is such a huge champion, it's worth up to like $12 million because it's won so many I don't know, championships for being a show horse. And I'm thinking, how do you even get into horses? You have to be either born into it, but Kaylee Cuoco married into it, and then she just had an interest in it, so she started buying and selling horses. But it's such such a rich person hobby, you know?
I was never a horse girl. They're so big and scary. No, were you ever a horse girl in your life?
No, I went to I did horse camp, and then I loved it. And so we would clean the horses' hooves, and we would ride them around, and like the horse camp was kind of cool. But I was never the type of girl that I wasn't racing horses, because that's a really expensive hobby for a kid. So expensive.
At my camp, there was the horse stables, and you know, some of the rich girls would have their horses couriered to Maine for the summer. And
it's insane the fact that this is a person's job, though, because you just hear like, oh, we just fly the horses. You're like, oh yeah, they're just in steerage. No, somebody's doing the job.
Yeah, crazy. That is so crazy. But anyway, I went to my camp for 10 summers. 8 as a camper, 2 as a counselor. That's 10 total. I went in the stables when I was a counselor once. I was like, I've never been here. I don't even think I might have just gone in during a reunion. I literally had never been in the stables. And all the little girls wear their riding boots and their tight leggings.
The look,
and they were like,
the look, yeah.
My horse was couriered here from Connecticut.
And I'm like, okay.
What?
Her family has money. Yeah, but I never... You didn't have to have a horse. Like, they had horses. Like, for the summer, they had horses there. But, like, I never did it. I think I rode a horse for, like, a fair once, like, in my hometown, you know, like, at the fair where they had, like, ride a horse around the circle for, like, you know, a minute or something.
Insane... you have to be... To actually gallop on a horse, insane talent. Like the balance, your quad,
the trust. Muscle...
The trust and your leg muscles are just insane. The quads. Yeah. So this man was not buff at all, but I get he used to be a military. He was a soldier.
You're like, so you just take him, you don't ride him. The muscles have gone.
Yeah, well, jockeys are actually so tiny. They're like 4'6". They have to be so like nimble and tiny to be up on those horses.
That's very
impressive. So that was one of the most interesting passengers I've sat actually next to. And thanks to Mr. David on my right, who was asking us all these questions, we just had the most inside scoop of each other's lives. And I hate talking about myself on planes, so I'm just like, I just kept asking questions about the horses. I was like, so who else do you take? He's like, oh, Arabian Prince's horses. Kaylee Cuoco, I got a lot of hers. And I really wanted to ask him what his salary is. I'm dying to know how much money
he makes. Oh my God. Going in.
What are you
going in? I'm curious, you know, my industry's on strike. I'm trying to figure out some other hobbies, you know, how much money could I make flying a horse to fucking Saudi Arabia?
Yeah. Like, what do you think? He showed me the inside of the planes, how the horse is sitting there. I'm like, what?
How do they sit? Like, if you're rich and you have horses, like, do they have a nice travel situation?
They put him in this little travel stable. It's this big tin metal, actually metal, titanium looking stable. And they actually stand the whole time. They're just eating, and he fills their water bowls. And then they put up this big stable into the plane. They like roll it up on wheels.
Wow. Do they drug them? They probably have to a little, right?
He said he doesn't. I was like, do they get affected? Do their ears hurt? Do they get any affected by the pressures? And he was like, nah, they're pretty chill. It's like, oh. I guess they don't even know, because dogs can sometimes sense. I don't know. They feel a little weird, but I'm always thinking bigger animals, wouldn't they freak out?
Yeah.
He said, no, they're chill.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Wow. I love that. Remember when I sat on a plane? Didn't I tell you I sat on a plane next to an Orthodox Jew who
they tried to
praying?
Convert you?
No, I'm already Jewish. Who was praying?
But to Orthodox Jew, to a even more sect of Judaism that's way more strict. Yeah, no.
He was praying, like literally had his Torah out, like his, you know, Haggadah out the whole time, and was praying. And I was like, it's so funny because I'm like we were saying before, people think I'm like Italian, like they, you know, they don't know necessarily what your background is or whatever. And I was sitting there eating like flaming hot Doritos, and which is like so not kosher. Literally like feet up, flaming hot Doritos. My hands are covered in shit. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, this guy doesn't even know we are one, huh? We are the same. It was a really funny. It was an interesting situation
because I wish like, I got a picture of that because that's a classic. That's like Jews coming together.
Yeah, we come in all shapes and sizes. We eat all different kinds of snacks. Like he wouldn't even eat anything on the plane. You know, he had his own like kosher food and everything.
Oh
and,
yeah,
and I was like full on like. Can I get another ginger ale?
Shuffling down some
Doritos.
I was
like in a middle seat too. Ugh, yeah. You just made me think as I'm flying, I think on Tuesday, and I was like, fuck, I don't know what seat I'm in. I got to change that. I got to make that an aisle, please, if I'm flying alone. Always.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to make it an aisle. You know what? I always forget to do that. So you're en route to the airport as I'm checking in, and then you realize there's no more seats available. Oh, there is one for $150. You can upgrade to like seat three. Uh-huh. Who's doing that?
I saw you balled out with your little cheese plate. Day. That was nice.
I balled out. Sometimes you have to. Oh my God. After a long, either you're shooting or you just had a really long trip, you're hungover. Oh my God. Best believe I'm getting a cheese plate. It's not free though, but it's not $20. It was $11, which I thought was
That's not bad.
It was pretty affordable for the cheese. It was good cheese.
I wanted to do a Big Wig Bites. How are you feeling about that? Did you eat anything in Chicago? You're in Chicago. You're traveling. Chicago, LA, Miami. Chicago. Did you eat anything good? I was just going to say, you didn't even mention Lollapalooza. We haven't seen you since your raging days at the festival.
Lala.
How was it? Everything?
Yeah, everything I could have thought. It was so many people, though. It was packed, and it was supposed to be gorgeous weather, but it ended up being a little drizzly, so people were falling on their ass. It was great. It was wet spots. It was muddy, so people were getting a little messy, but it was great. It was very fun, but my bones hurt afterwards because it was a long, long day. It was you're out there, your day, you're vibing out, and then you just realize, yeah, I've been drinking, and you run to the bathroom. There's a lot of 20,000, over 20,000 steps that day.
Oh, my God. Mazel tov.
Thank you. You know, we check your steps, and you're like, damn, that's crazy. But you forget what you're doing out there.
Yeah, that's. I thought you were going to say 20,000 people. I didn't expect you to count your steps during your music festival. I'm like, damn.
You look on your phone the next day when you're like in bed. You're like, oh my God, how many steps? And if it hits over 15K, yeah, it's a pretty long day. Nice. But we had, over 20. No, but 400,000 people bought tickets for Lala. So it's a humongous festival on the water. It's crazy.
That's crazy. I've never been to a music festival. I don't know that I would go unless I have like really VIP, like side seats.
Yeah. The thing that does get frustrating is you can never get where you want to go. You got to be behind the crowds. You're shuffling. Like that's kind of just, but it's a part of the whole package of the event. It's one of those things. But when you're with a big group of people, you make it a big thing. It could be fun.
Yeah. I love it.
Other than that. But Odessa, have you ever... I don't know. He's just an amazing performer. He's got like the drummers. It's a whole experience. The drummers are on stage. They got the fireworks, the fire starters, and it's like an immersive. You're like, whoa. It's very out there though.
Nice.
Yeah. It was cool. I forgot about
that. I
love
how different our weeks were. You're like at a music festival. She's going to shoot in LA. She's at going to a wedding. Do you know what I've done all week? My dad, he bakes bread every day. I've eaten bread.
I love this about your father. Yeah.
Fucking day. Like so much bread. Like I'm like, will I?
What do you guys do with the bread?
Bit and pan. We just eat it. That's all we do. It's out. Like we just have like, he has like a sourdough loaf out a day and we just like keep cutting it. We do olive oil. We do butter, whatever. My dad bakes so much bread and it's so good. Like we went to a restaurant last night, like a nice
restaurant.
All of
you guys are sticks though. I don't think you eat any gluten. I'm actually, your parents are this combined. It's crazy. I showed my pinky. That's how small they are.
I'll say everyone eats the bread but my mom. I don't think my mom's had any, maybe she tried it. She took
any
like
carbs.
A little bite. Yeah, she took a little bite. But no, we all just have been eating bread nonstop. That's why I got to get out of here for 3 days. I'm like going to blow up any second now. It's all going to hit. You're going to be like, oh, it hit. It takes a couple days. But I'm like, I'm sitting at home. I'm eating bread. Maybe a little butter if we get crazy, you know.
Whoa.
That's literally my week.
That, I mean, but, hey, that still sounds exciting to me. After the week I had, now that's all I want to do.
Yeah.
Chill out, eat some bread. Did you have a big wig bite though?
I did have a big wig bite. I've had a lot of croissants. I will shout out ICI and oui, like, yes, in French, oui, oui, oui.
Oh, oui, oui. Got it.
There are two places in Old City. ICI is one of them.
ICI.
And oui is the other one. And they have all these, they both, they're separate. They're not owned by the same people whatsoever. I'm actually saying two places that are probably huge competitors, and they make the best fucking croissants I've had outside of Paris. Like, I'm not even kidding. They're so good. And like flavor, like different flavors, not just a plain, not just an almond, you know. The ICI does this ABC. Okay. An ABC. It's an almond banana chocolate.
Stop. Stop. I thought it was going to be anything but croissant. I don't know why. It was like ABC.
No, so, honey. It's all of the fillings.
Almond. What was the
banana,
second one? Banana.
Chocolate.
And that's then, absurd. That's absurd.
It's so good. They even do savory ones. I kind of want to try. They have a mushroom cheesesteak one that's vegan, so I can eat it.
Cheesesteak.
Yeah. A croissant with a cheesesteak inside. Like, what? And then the other place, we... Okay. The other day I went, and I probably shouldn't have eaten this because I'm lactose intolerant and I don't really do dairy, but honestly, sometimes I suffer for like a cupcake, you know. They had a cookies and cream croissant, and it was like coated in like Oreo crumble, and then the inside was literally like cookies and cream. Out of this fucking world. It was messy as hell, but I'm still thinking about it. And I even said to Jared, after I record, I might go get another croissant. He's like, really?
You're still thinking about it.
We ate two loaves of sourdough bread in the last 48 hours. You're thinking
not
about
enough.
A croissant?
Wasn't enough. You're making me so hungry for a croissant, though. Those sound amazing. That's a big way.
I bet you could find a good one in Chicago, right? There's got to be a good
Probably.
One near you. I don't know Chicago. I've never been.
I think it'd be a fun trip for us. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous city. But I feel like they're more of that meat and potatoes. They're out here in the kraut dogs. Like they're, yeah, it's Midwest. So
yeah,
I'm sure I could find though down in the city.
Hell yeah.
A fancy croissant.
All right.
Well, you're basically in Paris then. I'm sorry that you're not in Paris now.
I said it last night at dinner. I was like, wow, it's like I'm in Paris because we're at a French restaurant. They all looked at me like, okay, Debbie Downer, calm the fuck
Things
down.
Things is a lot. Eat your escargot and STFU.
I want to say one thing before we go. I just want to give you guys an update on my dog because I was pretty dark and sad last week, right? I feel like I should update the
Definitely.
People. Definitely. No one knows. And they all send me really sweet messages wishing, you know, Bobby Flay well. And that's so nice. He's doing well, honestly, like day to day. He, you know, it's really scary because when a doctor says he's going to not know what's wrong with him, he feels fine. It's like a ticking time bomb in him that could just go off.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, great. That makes everyone feel better. But we did do a round of chemotherapy and it's
you
different
did.
In a dog. Yeah, we did it. He has another one on Tuesday. So it's every other week for like 6 weeks if we do the full thing. You know, we kind of wanted to see how he responds to it. So he did his first chemotherapy and he's been okay. I mean, I'd say his appetite's a little off, but it's not like what they do in humans, you know, where you're like kind of signing off to like all of those really harsh side effects, you know, which are really scary. But like he, you know, the goal is to keep them comfortable. So it's, you know, they don't do as much as they would in a human. But he's been good. He seems like okay. And maybe chemo will keep him alive for longer. You know, we've already beat the odds of the 11-day average of lifespan after finding out you have a heart tumor. So anyway, all of your well wishes and, you know, prayers, I think, are paying off right now. You know, knock on wood. But he seems okay. So I don't want to. I'm not going to fly with him, but he's going to come to New York with me today. We're going to see his regular vet tomorrow because he needs to get like a checkup in between the treatments to kind of see where his blood work is at and whatever.
Yeah.
It's a lot and it's very expensive. So
I know. Yeah. And he's a little guy.
He's so little. He's so sweet.
I know. But I'm so happy that he's doing well, though. And at least he's not in pain. That is the hardest thing is to see your pets in pain. So if he doesn't know anything that's wrong.
Yeah.
And chemo isn't as painful. Like it doesn't have the same effects as it does on humans.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a whole day thing. Like we did it because he was already there doing all these tests. And then they were like, if you want to do it, it's like 30 more minutes and, you know, X amount of dollars more. And sort of money goes out the window at this point, you know, like what? So, right. I mean, so we did it. And I hopefully, I mean, we don't know yet if he's responding, you know, how he's responding to it, like in terms of like the actual cancer. But if it is cancer, it might not be. It's, you know, they can't really test it, but this is what they believe it to be. So anyway, don't I sound like a doctor giving everyone an update? Well, so he's doing okay, but he's has my life been uprooted and fucked? Yes, but we'll figure it out. And who knows where my home base city will be right now. Who knows? Not Philly. I can tell you that. I don't want it to be.
Not Philly with the sourdough, but we may get you back in New York.
We'll see. We'll see. If so, until then, good croissants there. Yeah.
Oh, we definitely do have good croissants there. Until then, we can't wait to announce our exciting Big Wig news. And stay tuned. Follow us on the YouTubes. Follow us on the Instagrams. We appreciate your guys' love always.
And we owe you a Crappy Lake episode. We're going to do it this week. We're going to do our episodes 5 and 6, which... I'm excited about. Oh, you know who we need to have on to do Crappy Lake with us? Darren Karp. Darren hosted the watch with Lou and Sonia last night on Peacock. And I like
Darren. Okay.
I was like, oh my God, you're with our girls. Like literally with them.
She would totally be down. We got to get her on the show.
I already told her. Amazing. I was like, we're recapping Crappy Lake. You're coming on.
So in. Okay, great. Love you. I'm so happy Bobby's feeling better, and I'll be texting you. And love you guys. Be a big wig.